Our final case this morning is Arena IP v. the New England Patriots, 2024-17-50. Mr. Ramey.
Good morning. My name is William Ramey and I represent Arena IP, LLC, and if it pleases the court, may I begin? Arena is asking the court to reverse the district court's finding that the claims of the 820 patent were directed to patent ineligible subject matter. The district court order made this determination based on what we believe is a misapprehension of the focus of the claims and a failure to consider the actual claimed elements. There simply is nothing abstract about self-contained pods that can enable video and data communications with multiple wireless handheld devices. Those are physical devices. Those are the actual claimed devices. This is a system claim. All the independent claims of the 820 patent.
Our court has held that even system claims that have physical structure can be directed to abstract ideas and ineligible under Alice, where the claim doesn't say, you know, more about how to solve a technical problem or somehow improve upon the hardware or software, and instead is just at a high level of I want to do this and I want to do that, as in I want to have all these pods that will allow people to be able to use Wi-Fi in a stadium environment, right?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that the claims could be drafted in such a way that they could be patent ineligible, but these claims claim meaningful limitations that take it out of that ineligible area. They don't preempt all communications. So let's go to what the patent actually talks about. The 820 patent, this is appendix 0030 at column 3, lines 35 to 45. It talks about what it does differently. The systems that were building wireless access points in the near term, in the recent years, were building LAN, they had hardwired wireless access points in there. That's when they built the stadiums. The claimed invention are for these self-contained pods that could be put into stadiums without drilling new holes, pulling wire to run all the LAN equipment. So these are not wired wireless access points, they're wireless wireless access points.
It's the wireless aspect that makes this different, you think, or makes this so that it's not directed to an abstract idea.
Correct, Your Honor. That would be one of the points, and the claimed elements in there. And if we go, I guess we'll just go straight to the claims, if that's okay. We believe the preamble is limiting. We didn't get to claim construction in the case, but we believe the preamble is limiting because the claim terms used are referred to in the body, and so it's grabbing antecedent basis from the preamble. So we start off with a system providing communications capacity. So it's claiming something that provides enhanced video and data capacity, supporting video and data, and it's with wireless devices. And then it goes through, and then the next element is at least one server managing data. It's limited by what it's doing. It's managing the video coming back from video cameras at the venue. And then we go down to the one or more than one self-contained pod, and it includes certain elements. It includes wireless communications electronics and an integrated antenna. In the self-contained pod, it operates as a wireless access point, sustaining bidirectional communication with that at least one server. And then more than that, it's further limited that self-contained pod, there's more than one of them. They're deployed as a matrix of communication nodes throughout the venue to provide that, going back to what the preamble calls, that enhanced capacity for data transfer. So it allows video data transfer back and forth from wireless handheld devices through a wireless device. And if we go back to what the patent was talking about, it's talking about what existed at the time of this invention. The people would build a stadium, put in wireless access points, pull the wires. Now, and this is a solution around that.
These kinds of wireless pods or wireless devices, they existed. This is not new technology, right?
That's correct. Well, the wireless devices did exist. There was a wireless access point. But here, if you go back to what the examiner said in his reasons for allowance, putting the pods together in a matrix, like what was done by the patentee, the matrix did not exist. The examiner found that exactly is the reason for allowance, and that can be found at Appendix 0116. That was specifically, and of course, this even gets more basic going back to dismissal on a 12B6 motion. In the first amended complaint at Appendix 0079 and 0078, we reference the reasons for allowance is one of the reasons why the patent is patent eligible at the pleading stage. And so that was a factual assertion we made that the district court did not consider, and we believe that's one of the reasons why at the pleading stage this should be reversed and sent back for an investigation into whether or not those factual assertions made by the patentee in the pleading are sufficient to sustain patent eligibility.
How do the patents in Affinity Labs and ChargePoint not get past Section 101, whereas you say that your patent does?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for that. The Affinity Labs was found patent eligible because it claimed a proposition of our concept of providing out-of-market regional access to broadcast material, right? And so that was not tethered to a specific or concrete way of doing it. I believe this court in that case said that had it been tethered to a specific means or method, it might have been patentable, but because it wasn't tethered to a specific means, it wasn't patentable. In our case, we don't believe the claims are abstract to start with, but even if we're there, we believe the discrete claim elements that I walked this court through a few minutes ago are enough to take it out of the ineligible realm and put it back in the eligible realm, because the fear of preemption isn't there. You could still construct wireless access points that would not read on these claims. For one, we disclosed one of them. Wired wireless access points that most people are going to build when they put in a stadium these days, as they do a new stadium. That's what that would not infringe these claims.
Can I ask you a question about your claim scope? I do see where it's talking about the matrix of communication nodes, but it's more than one self-contained pod deployed as a matrix of communication nodes. Would that include having two self-contained pods?
More than one, yes, Your Honor, would be.
So two communication pods would be a matrix?
In a particularly small venue, yes, Your Honor, I think it could. I think we've all been to weddings and stuff where they do put these up in small venues, and sometimes there's only two. That would be sufficient. But if you're talking about a larger venue, it's going to vary with the venue, to vary with the obstructions that are in there. And that of course, is more of a 112 issue as to what is actually covered by that.
Would your wedding environment infringe this claim?
Only if it contained all the discrete elements of their claim, the specific
elements.
Let's
say it had everything in the claim, but I'm really just trying to understand the preamble language, a sports and entertainment venue.
That there's other claims, John. It's not my apologies. So claim one, it probably wouldn't infringe, but if you go down to some of the other claims, it might infringe some of the other claims. Claims 1, 8, and 15 are the independent claims. We all agree that claim 1 is representative for the patent eligibility test. Sports entertainment mentioned all of them. That's the claim 15 does more of a venue analysis that could be a broader venue.
Yes, about ChargePoint, though? I asked about ChargePoint before. How do you distinguish that case? Because I look at the patent in that case, and at least at part two of, or step two of the Alice test, not knowing the record in that case, but just the case opinion, it seems like it gets closer to the line as far as inventiveness.
Yes, Your Honor, thank you for that. My apologies, Your Honor. I can't place that case right now in my head. But generally, what the differentiation that we'd say with our claims, the claims that we have in the 820 patent, is that they do provide meaningful limitations to providing wireless access, and because it is designed for a specific problem in the art, providing wireless access points to increase or enhance data and video connectivity for people in older venues or in venues that are set up temporarily. These aren't hardwired in with the newer venues, and that's the big differentiation. While we think the patent claims are eligible at step one, the district court did get into step two, and if I could, I'd address that just briefly. That the district court conflated what we believe is novelty, obviousness, with the 101 analysis, and you can see this just by what he cites as the basis.
What page
for that.
Are you looking at? You want to show us exactly what you're referring to?
Yes, Your Honor. That would be Appendix 0018. So where the district court says at its core, the 820 patents claim disclose the idea that a system already in existence can be used on a larger scale. Such idea does not constitute an inventive concept. Such claims are not patent eligible. I think that paragraph right there kind of summarizes everything that the district court did. The error was conflating the novelty obviousness with the patent eligibility. We didn't do a proper eligibility analysis.
Do you agree that there pre-existed other environments in which wireless access points were used to extend data communication, right?
Okay, but pardon me, Your Honor, I didn't hear that.
Do you agree that prior to the invention in this case, prior to the filing date of this patent application or its priority date, that there existed in other environments other than stadiums or big entertainment venues using wireless access points to extend data communication? I think your patent.
Yeah, I think there were other wireless access points that were out there. Yes, Your Honor, and so that's why we go back to the specific limitation. I don't think we can read out the venue, the sports entertainment venue, from this. I think that's what the claims are limited. But I go back to what the examiner said in his reasons for allowance, that he in his search didn't find those limitations in the prior art. And that's what we rely on to say that it's not conventional technology at that point. And at least because we put that into the First Amendment complaint, that's a factual assertion that would have to be resolved. And at 12B6 stage, it's not proper to resolve that without discovery into that matter.
But in a 12B6 stage, statements that are made in the specification can be considered, right? Statements about certain things being conventional or not conventional certainly can be considered at the 12B6 stage, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. In the patent specification.
In the patent specification.
Yes, sure. So let me go back and make sure that I clear that up, because I think I understand from my colleagues on the other side's briefing that there may have been a misapprehension on what the patent actually says is in the prior art. The patent does refer to what stadiums like the Dallas Cowboys did. But that's talking about what I was talking about earlier. They call them three lines, 35 to 45. Those are hardwired systems. That's where they build a new stadium, put the wireless access points in hardwired. So we weren't admitting that what we're trying to do is in the prior art. We were trying to differentiate our self-contained pods for what they do in the prior art for these wireless access points. This invention filled a need in the industry. This is a technological improvement in the area of wireless access points. Wireless access points on top of that. So it is very limited. It would not preempt much at all.
What's your best case that supports your position? What's the most analogous case that goes your way?
Well, Your Honor, I think I like PowerBlock the most. In that case, as this court knows, ultimately, this court found the claims to be directed towards patent eligible because of meaningful limitations that were put in. And that case, of course, is directed toward what might be considered automated weight stacking. And the court found that because of the connection of certain motors and the way that it selected the weights, the meaningful limitations, that took it out of patent ineligibility and back into patent eligibility. We would say the same general analogy holds here. What we're talking about is wireless access points, but we put meaningful limitations in through those self-contained pods that were not in the art to allow these larger venues to be covered. That takes us outside of the area of patent ineligibility.
Counsel, your time has mostly expired, but let's hear from the other side. We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Bilharz.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court, Alan Bilharz for the New England Patriots. The Court should affirm the District Court's well-reasoned dismissal order. The claims of the 820 patent are directed to an abstract idea on their face, providing wireless communications access in a public venue. Beyond that abstract idea, the claims only recite generic computer components used in a conventional way. Thus, under the now familiar Alice test, the claims are invalid.
Well, they claim a system with a server and pods. There's something physical about that.
Yes, correct, Your Honor. There is something physical about servers and pods, but I think Judge Soule may have pointed out that our case law, the case law of this court, indicates that having physical components alone is not enough. And one thing I would like to address, Your Honor, just I heard this for the first time from the other side, that wireless versus wired being the distinction here between newer venues and older venues. I'd like to read from the patent itself, column 1. So this is on Appendix 29, column 1, line 49. New sports and entertainment venues are now being designed and built to incorporate wireless data communications infrastructure in order to enhance spectator experiences. It's right there in black and white that the patent acknowledges that wireless technology was already present in sports and entertainment venues at the time. And you will see in columns 3 and 4, there's a long discussion there of wireless technology and how it is conventional. And
what do you think is the best parts of columns 3 and 4, just even a couple sentences or one sentence, for showing that these wireless repeaters are conventional?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. I would point to column 3, approximately lines 40 through 45. That's on appendix page 30. And that's where the spec talks about 802.11.1 repeaters are on the market. And they will be referred to herein as communication systems nodes or simply as communications nodes. That's the terminology that appears in the claims. So the patent is equating those nodes with known wireless technology. It goes on and discusses further.
And so when it talks about a self-contained pod deployed as a matrix of communications nodes, it's referring back here to these wireless repeaters?
Yes, Your Honor, it's referring back to at least some conventional technology. I don't know if it's actually limited to that, but at least that is within the scope of what the claims cover. I would also point out to Your Honors, in the appendix, at page 221, counsel for Arena IP has already admitted that the improvement is not in the pods themselves. I'll read from the appendix. It's page 11 of the oral argument before the district court. I'm quoting now, the improvement is not in any one pod and not within the ability of any one pod. The improvement is having the server that communicates with multiple of these pods that's unable to transmit high-capacity video and data to multiple wireless handheld devices across the sports venue. That system is what's being claimed. So it's not the improvements in any one pod. So we're not talking about the pods here. We're talking about, at best, the arrangement. That's how I understand their argument. But
how many pods did the claims require?
The claims actually do require more than one, if I'm remembering that correctly. Yes. Column 8, so this is Appendix 32, column 8, line 62, says more than one self-contained pod.
So it could be two pods.
It could be two pods, Your Honor. So it's not the pods. And now counsel, Arena IP argues that it is the arrangement of the pods, the matrix. But I would point out that the term matrix doesn't appear anywhere in the specification. There is no support for the matrix or the arrangement. There's no discussion of how these things need to be arranged in an inventive capacity. And that puts us squarely within Affinity Labs. I think that's this case is on all fours with Affinity Labs in that you don't have the how. You have this concept, at best, of even taking their argument, assuming that their argument is correct, which we disagree with. But at best, you have the concept of arranging these things in a matrix. There's no discussion of how or what would qualify. And in fact, the dependent claims as well. So matrix appears one time in each of the independent claims. And one limitation of 102 words, that limitation is 102 words long. Matrix appears once in each of those. The dependent claims do not elaborate on this concept at all. They focus on other conventional technology. So I think it defies the intrinsic record to say that the matrix is the focus of this invention. And under Infinity Labs, we look to the focus of the invention to understand or to resolve Alice Step 1.
Should the district court nonetheless have discussed the examiner's reasons for allowance, which seem to mention the matrix?
Your Honor, I believe counsel talked about conflating novelty and patent subject matter eligibility. The examiner's reasons for allowance were addressing novelty, not subject matter eligibility. In fact, these claims were allowed 2 years before Alice was even decided. Of course, we had 101 at that time, but the examiner was not evaluating eligibility when the examiner made that determination.
If our law had gone in a different direction, we'd be dealing with Section 103 here.
Perhaps, Your Honor, perhaps. But the issue before the court today is patent subject matter eligibility. So I want to go back to that that statement of the examiner. I'd also point out the word matrix does literally appear in there, but the examiner is pointing to that same 102-word limitation that I'd also point out recites the abstract idea, which is providing wireless communications access in a public venue. If you look at it, it's not the exact same verbiage, but that's in the limitation. It's talking about providing enhanced capacity or capability for wireless communications. I can read it to the court. The language, it appears on Appendix 33, column 9, starting at line 1. The claim actually literally recites, to provide enhanced communications capacity for and data network access by said handheld wireless devices being used by spectators located throughout the sports and entertainment venue. So the claims are reciting this concept of providing wireless communication access in a sporting venue. And I believe there were some questions before about, well, what if it's a wedding, right? The claims are limited to a sports and entertainment venue, at least Claim 1 and Claim 8 are. Claim 15 is only limited to a public venue, so perhaps that would read on a wedding, depending on how public it is. But it's black-letter law, including in Alice itself, that you can't take an abstract idea and limit it to a particular field of use or a particular technological context and then have a patent-eligible claim.
I asked counsel what was his best case
yes.
to support his position, and he made reference to power block.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that case cited in any of the briefing. Do you know what he's referring to?
Thank you for that question, Your Honor. I had the same reaction. I checked the table of authorities, and I did not see that case cited. I am not familiar with that case, at least not this time. So I didn't see that case cited. I think it's outside the briefing, Your Honor. But in terms of the cases on point, I believe Affinity Labs is directly on point. I would also point to Chamberlain. Chamberlain talks about these physical claim elements not being enough to save claims from abstractness. And also two-way media as well. We're in this situation where we're dealing with claims that are nominally technological, but if you strip that all away, it's just claiming a concept of solving a problem. And going back to counsel's statement about there's a factual allegation in the specification. I believe he was pointing to the discussion in columns 1 and 2, which talks about the problem of older stadiums versus newer stadiums. That, let's assume for a second that it is a factual allegation properly preserved. That's just talking about the problem. It's just talking about the problem to be solved. That's not actually providing an inventive concept or an invention. It's just saying, here's the problem. The present invention solves it. That's an abstract idea. Your Honor, if I may briefly touch on the claim construction question.
Fine. It's your time.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. Well, it's going to be hard to beat the earlier counsel in terms of sitting down quickly. So I will say, Your Honor, the claim construction argument was not presented to the district court in the briefing before the district court. That came up at oral argument. It's the most superficial of arguments in that the preamble should be limiting. But I point out that that doesn't change the analysis here. The preamble, even if it were limiting, the preamble just recites the same abstract idea.
Your view is because it gives, if at most it gives the environment that, as you said earlier, under our case law, would not be sufficient to make something that's abstract non-abstract.
Correct, Your Honor. And actually, looking to Claim 15, I'm not sure. I guess it restricts it to public venues as opposed to private venues, but it's quite broad in terms of what it attempts to claim. But that idea, I would point out, as we discussed earlier, is recited also in the last limitation, that long limitation. So even if the preamble is limiting, it doesn't add anything new to the analysis. But then as a matter of law, of course, if you limit to a particular field of use or technological context, it's not enough. We made these arguments in our brief, and Arena IP failed to rebut those arguments on reply. So they are unrebutted at this time with regard to the claim construction argument. Unless there are further questions.
Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you.
Mr. Ramey has 2 minutes.
Yes, sir, if I may. First, if I could, Judge Shen, I wanted to apologize for ChargePoint. I did now refresh my recollection about that case and what it stands for. And I think ChargePoint's directly on point. It actually says what we're looking at the focus. We're supposed to go back to the specification to find out what the specification talks about. And you heard my friend on the other side bring up the fact of where the specification, where it does talk about retrofitting old venues, it talks about these pods, how they didn't exist. I think that's directly on point. But to address, I can just Chamberlain and ChargePoint in one aspect here. This court, in my oversimplification, found those claims in those two cases to be abstract because they weren't claiming the physical thing they were trying to control. They were claiming controls of those. So they weren't, like in Chamberlain, they didn't claim the movable barrier. The court pointed out, had that been claimed, it may have been different, that the claims may have been eligible. It claimed a status control for a garage door.
I want to ask you a quick question, which is simply, where in your claim does it talk about retrofitting any sports venues? I just don't see that. I think that your claim is broad enough to cover new venues as well. Am I wrong?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that for the new venues, it's wrong if they're wired.
What in your claim suggests that this is only for retrofitting?
There's not that limitation in the claims itself, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry. And I wanted to address real quick the power block case. I could not have put that in the brief because it was only issued August 11th.
Did you file a Rule 28J letter?
I did not. Okay. But
that's what you should do next time.
Okay. But that's the newer case. But it also goes back to McCrow. It relies a lot on that case, and that case is in the briefing, and that's in the same point. And so, McCrow v. Band-Aid case is cited in the case. So, that's the strongest case I'm relying on, Judge Chen. Sorry about that. And with that, I thank the court very much. If you have any further questions, I can.
Thank you to both counsel. The case is submitted.